So tomorrow night is the beginning of a Celtic holiday, one of the Celtic quarter days, Beltane. And the Celtic calendar, like the Jewish calendar, these days begin at sunset and then they continue through the next day. In the great scheme of the Celtic calendar, the year is thought to be a cycle with a light half and a dark half. You might say a yang half and a yin half. And there are four quarter days at the apex and at the crossing points. So Beltane is the crossing point from the dark half of the year into the light half of the year. This day and then the other, you know, the day you might say at the seam of the two halves of the year, the other day Samhain. At the end of October, these two are said to be times when the veil is thin between the two worlds. You know, and often there'd be stories in mythology about that heroes would be visited by, say, magical women from the other side, from the Sheed, the so-called Banshees, would visit these heroes and cause all kinds of mischief and that sort of thing. And so it's this day of, it's this time of entering the light half of the year, and just sort of, it's the nature of this time of the year in general. And if you're not aware of the Celtic calendar, it's getting lighter, it's getting warmer, people are outside more. And so it's more a time of being seen. And so I really wanted to focus tonight on just the larger question of showing up and being seen. What does it mean to show up and be seen in life? And I guess the first question I would just ask is, just feel into how does that land for you, you know? In what ways in life do you show up? In what ways in life do you not show up? In what ways in life are you comfortable being seen for who you are? And in what ways are you not so comfortable with that? Or do you go to, maybe even go to lengths to so that you're not seen for who you are? To show up fully in one's full authenticity and one's full vulnerability is a scary thing. It requires tremendous courage. And in fact, this gets at the core meaning of the word courage. Courage, of course, is from the French word cœur, from the heart. And so etymologically, courage is when I can show up with my heart. I can show up in a way that makes who I am in my heart, visible in the world. That's really the core meaning of the word courage. And it's difficult, among other things, because, of course, there's all kinds of critics in the world. And it's the easiest thing ever to be a critic. You know, we can put in all kinds of work, all kinds of effort to show up heroically, to put some, you know, great product out into the world, some expression of ourselves. And someone who's done nothing can just say, that's no good. I know Brené Brown talks about, of course, she's a published author. She, you know, she gets all kinds of attention, but she talks about how she's not even interested in the feedback of anyone unless they're all also putting themselves out there, you know, like if it's not somebody else who's risking themselves, she's not even interested in that feedback. Of course, she has a lot of feedback coming her way anyway, because she's a published author. In this context, I want to read a famous quote. Many of you will recognize this quote about the nature of, you know, the person who shows up versus the critic. And this is a famous quote by Teddy Roosevelt. It's sometimes known as the man in the arena quote. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcomings, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, or who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. It's a very kind of manly, powerful quote. Teddy Roosevelt was a very manly, powerful kind of guy. But it really is important to acknowledge the relative importance of the critic, and you know how much leverage do I give to external critics, and do I shut myself down simply to avoid criticism? You know, do I shut off what I could be powerfully contributing to the world simply to avoid criticism? You know. Lots of interesting questions there. And I think I would distinguish, of course, there's sort of two kinds of showing up and being seen. There's the more public kind, you know, out in the world, you know, making a public statement, you know, whether it's, you know, publishing a book or, you know, doing something in a grand public way so that the world sees it. That's one kind of showing up and being seen. And then there's a very different kind of showing up and being seen that's much more intimate, that happens, say, in a love relationship or with very close friends. You know, a kind of deeply vulnerable being seen that wouldn't necessarily be appropriate or even safe to do with humanity at large, but, you know, something I can do with those I trust, with, you know, you might say, the people in my tribe. And it's really, I think, important for all of us to have that feeling of tribe, that feeling of the people whom we really trust, the people with whom we can really take off all our masks and be seen genuinely. You know, there's something powerful and healing about that. And so both kinds of showing up are important in different ways. And one way to talk about why showing up is important, I want to read a poem. This is a poem by Mary Oliver, extraordinary poet who passed away in the last year. This poem is called When Death Comes. When death comes like a hungry bear in autumn, when death comes and takes all the bright coins from his purse to buy me and snaps the purse shut. When death comes like measlepox, when death comes like an iceberg between the shoulder blades. I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering what is it going to be like, that cottage of darkness. And therefore I look upon everything as a brotherhood and sisterhood, and look upon time as no more than an idea, and consider eternity another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common as a field daisy, and as singular. And each name, a comfortable music in the mouth, tending, as all music does, towards silence. And each body, a lion of courage, and something precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say all my life I was a bride married to amazement. I was a bridegroom taking the world in my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I've made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing or frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. And I love that poem because, first of all, it is an incredibly powerful statement about what it is to show up in life. But it also really makes very clear how to say it. This is my life. It's not a rehearsal for anything. Like, this is it, you know? And how present are we to life? How much are we taking advantage of this absolutely remarkable possibility of being a human person? You know, and are we living in a way that we're setting ourselves up for endless regrets in our later years? Or are we living in a way that will actually be grateful in our later years, you know? And I'd say showing up is also important because the world desperately needs it. The world desperately needs people who are connected to their hearts, who are genuine, who are authentic, showing up powerfully and influencing the world powerfully. I think we live in a time when there's a tremendous struggle between what you might call a culture of fear versus a culture of love. And maybe I'll even call it a culture of what I might call big love. You know, I want to use that term because, of course, you know, everyone, you know, parents love their children. You know, the most fearful people in the world, they love their spouse, they love their parents, they love their children, that sort of thing. But on the side of love, I mean the love that crosses boundaries of otherness. The love that takes in, that extends not just to the people like me and the people in my tribe, but to everyone and to the people who are just completely different from me across boundaries of race, orientation, sexual identity, you know, people in prison, immigrants, you know, all kinds of others. How far does my love extend? And can I see all these people as truly human others who deserve love? You know, as opposed to a culture of fear, which might paint those people as their threats to me. And it's tricky because we all have fear. It's a human emotion, you know? We all have parts of us that are just rip-roaring to go and be out there, and then parts of us that are like, I don't know about this, you know? And that's totally human. And different days we're in different places, you know? We wax and wane, you know? Some days we're more expansive, some days we're more contracted, you know? And it's not really about being just on like a light bulb, you know, 24/7 all the time. It's more just in that natural rhythm of waxing and waning, can we shift a little more to being a little more open when we're waxing and a little less closed when we're waning? You know, David White, the poet, has this phrase, can we be half a shade braver? You know, don't have to save the whole world. Can we just move a little more in that direction? And there's all kinds of fear around being seen. You know, we all carry places of shame, places of guilt and fear, so that, you know, messages, oh, people really saw me, then they'd be disappointed, or they'd be, they'd see I'm a blah, 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 whatever kind of failure. You know, all these old tapes that we have playing in us. And all those tapes deserve tremendous compassion. But there's also fear not only about our shadow side, our weakness, but there's fear about our strength. And I'm going to read another famous quote, and this is also a very familiar quote from Marianne Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Yes.
That was helpful.
And so it's one of the many reasons why it's important to show up is that it is like this chain reaction. The more powerful I can show up with love, compassion, acceptance, authenticity, the more I can give other people permission to show up in the same way. We all need each other, and we're supporting each other this way. I'd say also, I've thought a lot about that quote, you know, why is it that our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure? It has to do with responsibility. If I'm powerful beyond measure, if I'm showing up powerfully in the world, I carry a lot of responsibility, you know? If I'm living a small life and it's just me, well, then I'm just responsible for myself. All right, that's easy. Or, you know, for some people, even that's not easy, you know? But if I'm a big presence, then I'm responsible for a lot. You know, I'm responsible for, you know, a wide influence. And responsibility is one of those things, how can I say? There's always something inherently frightening about stepping into more responsibility. And yet the paradox is that the people who truly move toward greatness in life do so by stepping into deeper and deeper responsibility. I'll say, you know, leading this Sangha, I'm not going to hold myself up as an example of, you know, someone who powerfully shows up in, you know, in some archetypal way. But it has occurred to me just the responsibility. You know, suppose I were in Safeway one time and I flipped my lid about something, you know, like just I lost it. I was screaming at someone about something. You know, and somebody saw that, and then later they came to the Sangha. Like, what kind of impact would it have? You know, oh, that guy, he's the guy that was going apeshit in Safeway, you know? You know, and so what does it mean to walk around in the world if I have this responsibility, you know? So it's just, it's something I've thought about. And, you know, and this is just a small Sangha in Berkeley, you know? What would it be to be, say, a bishop or, recognized public figure in, you know, by a large number of people. So at this point, I'll share the quote sheet. It has the Theodore Roosevelt quote as well as the Marianne Williamson quote. So I'll just read through these others. Another one from Theodore Roosevelt. Believe you can, and you're halfway there. So true. Henry Ford tells us, when everything seems to be going against you, remember that the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. Pablo Picasso says, only put off till tomorrow what you're willing to die having left undone. Wow. Nothing is impossible, says Audrey Hepburn. The word itself says, I'm possible. Mike Iaconelli says, I'm unfinished, I'm unfixed. And that's the reality is that's where God meets me, in the mess of my life, in the unfixedness, in the brokenness. I thought he did the opposite. I thought he got rid of all that stuff. But if you read the Bible, if you look at it, constantly he was showing up in people's lives at the worst possible time of their lives. You know, and there's something deep there about, I've heard it, you know, phrased in other ways, like our wounds are the places where that let the light in. You know, that it's really our human brokenness and messiness and woundedness where we're most open to the sacred. Robin Sharma says, be a warrior when it comes to delivering on your ambitions, and a saint when it comes to treating people with respect, modeling generosity, and showing up with outright love. A couple from Brené Brown, she says, The willingness to show up changes us. It makes us a little braver each time. And she also says, vulnerability is about showing up and being seen. It's tough to do that when we're terrified about what people might think or see. You know, and it's always a very interesting question. To what extent is my self-approval dependent on the approval of others? You know, it's important to be open to people's feedback, but am I dependent on people's approval? That's a very different thing, you know. Sheryl Sandberg says, if you're offered a seat on a rocket ship, don't ask what seat, just get on. Hannah Kent says, how hidden the heart, Nance thought. How frightened we are being known, and yet how desperately we long for it. Alaric Hutchinson says, bravery is the choice to show up and listen to another person, be it a loved one or a perceived foe, even when it is uncomfortable, painful, or the last thing you want to do. Tim Kreider says, for all his secrecy and fear of being seen, he was touched that we had observed him so closely and with such love. He loved that we knew him. This is the one reason people need to believe in God, because we want someone to know us truly all the way, even the worst of us. I point out that also Buddha nature sees the worst of us. So, you know, it's not an exclusive of God language there. Suzette Hinton says, it's the doing of your calling that attracts the support of the God of the universe. When I stepped into that space, the wind in my life changed direction. The doing rallied the heavens. It was the voice of my faith. If you don't do out of your being, you aren't truly showing up. Maybe that's what they meant by faith without works is dead. Without it, there's no smoke signals going up to attract the people, resources, or opportunities. Israel Moore Ayuvor says, don't be deceived by thoughts of obscurity that linger around your head. Go and shine the light in you. Sanjo Jadadi says, show up authentically and synergy will meet you there. And Arokbros says, it's beautiful when someone recognizes and appreciates us for who we are, for how we are, without trying to change us, without any judgment. Unconditional acceptance is the truest form of love.